Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus. We hope that today's message will help and inspire you in your faith journey.
Good morning, everybody. How is 10:30? Are you all good? It's a beautiful day, isn't it? So many good news stories going on around our community, you know, just listening to Mike and obviously being having been involved in his journey now, I cannot believe that he's been in this community for 18 years. I mean, it's crazy. But not only his story and listening to that, but just somebody before our first service started came up to me and said, hey, the job that I've been praying for, got it, started work 2 weeks ago. Somebody else in our community, they were in our offices this last week just sharing that God had provided miraculously an unbelievable job. He's employed, but got a job that was twice the salary that he was on at the moment. Just isn't that good news? Hey, listen, so if you've got a good news story, grab a card on the way out and just write it down and let it encourage somebody else. You know, we are encouraged by each other, aren't we? We're mutually encouraged by each other. So, morning 10:30. Hope you're all doing well today. Let's take a moment and shall we pray? Father, in these moments, we want to right now dedicate ourselves to you. We want to give you our hearts. We want to give you our minds. And we pray that you would help us not to be distracted in these moments. Help us to hear and receive what you want us to. Not be distracted by the week past or the thought of the week ahead. Not be distracted by thinking about our kids and kids zone or, you know, what the afternoon lies ahead for us, or not be distracted by our phones in these moments, the WhatsApps coming through, or the social media feeds, but let us just be wholly yours, completely yours for these next few moments, that you would be able to speak, and Holy Spirit, that as you speak through your word, we'd become, learn to become today, one more step, learning to follow Jesus and become good news people. In your name we pray. Everybody in 10:30, which as everybody knows, is by far the most amazing service. Said?
Amen.
Amen. Except for the 5:30. The 5:30 is the most amazing. So if you want the most amazing tonight, mental health with Nicole is going to be amazing, absolutely incredible. We're in talking about good news. You know, we're in the series, and it's the theme. It's our vision for the year: good news people. And what we are learning to do as a community is we are learning how to follow Jesus. So I'm in this little mini series called "Good News People Follow Jesus." Good news people, they follow Jesus. You may remember 2 weeks ago, I started the first installment of this one, and we were talking about Peter, and Peter encourages me because Peter was such a douchebag so much of the time. Peter's life never went up and to the right. Peter's life wasn't linear. Peter's life wasn't straight and narrow. Peter's life kind of was a little bit all over the show, wasn't it? And in the first installment, if you were here 2 weeks ago, we spoke about the fact that good news people, like Peter, when Peter got called to leave his fishing nets, he actually had to get called twice because Jesus called him, he left his fishing net, he followed Jesus, and then life went pear-shaped. Something happened, and Peter had to get called once again by Jesus. Anybody been in that boat where Jesus has asked you one thing, you've said yes, and then your yes turned to no somewhere along the line, and Jesus had to ask you once again? Anybody been there? Thank you for your honesty. At the 8:30, there was nobody. And we discovered that as Peter left his nets, in this text in Luke 5, that he had to encounter three things. We had to overcome three things. The first was he had to overcome the obedience issue. When Jesus says, will you go, will you go? When Jesus says, will you follow, will you follow? When Jesus says, will you cast your nets out, will you do it? And then the second issue that he had to encounter was the direction issue. Will you put your nets that side, Peter? Will you push your boat out that side, Peter? And then, of course, Peter gets this catch of fish like you can't believe. And as he does so, he's got a bucket load of fish. Peter's about to start a fishing franchise. And the question gets asked of him, the issue that he has to face is the credit issue. And when God does good things for us, who gets the credit? Today we're going to look at issues number 4 and 5. that Peter had to encounter in that same story, in that same account in Scripture of having leaving his nets after having received the greatest catch he had ever had in his life. And the fourth issue, so part two of the installment, first three were last week. The fourth issue is what I want to call the better life issue. The better life issue. Come with me to this text in verses 10 and 11. This is as Peter pulls in his boat and he's got this bucket load of fish, Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." I think that's just the kindness of God. He's about to call Peter into something incredible. He's about to call Peter into something new. He's about to cast a vision for Peter's life. This is the better life. And as he does so, he says, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, Peter. I'm about to turn your life upside down. Don't be afraid, Peter. I'm about to call you out of your comfort zone. Don't be afraid, Peter. What I've got ahead of you is the better life. So don't be afraid." And he says, "From now on, you'll be fishing for people." As soon as they landed, what did they do? They left everything and followed Jesus. If you're taking notes this morning, this issue number four that we all have to encounter as we follow Jesus, as we learn to become good news people that follow Jesus on the journey of uncertainty, the fourth issue is what I want to call the better life issue. And in essence, the better life issue is, Peter, I know you were thinking your life was going to be fishing for people. It's actually going to be fishing for fish. It's actually going to be fishing for people. It's like fishing for fish, but it's just more epic. What's the essence of this? Jesus isn't calling all of us necessarily to leave our careers. He might be calling you to change angles or change careers or whatever, but that's not the essence of it. The essence of this issue, the better life issue, is that no matter what you do for a living, no matter what I do for a living, there is a better life banner over it that says whether you're an accountant or whether you're a teacher or whether you're a student or whether you're a financial manager or whether you're a CFO of a business or whether you're the business owner yourself, you are that, but you're so much more. Whether you're a mom, whether you're a dad, a brother or a sister, whether you're a parent, a sibling, whatever you might be, you're that and you're so much more. The better life issue is at the core of it, Peter, your life is now about the kingdom. And so whether you're a CFO, whether you're in the payroll department, whether you're in the HR department, whether you own the business, work for the business, whether you're a student, a teacher, no matter what you do and what I do, the essence of this issue, the better life issue, is guess what? Your life is about the kingdom. First and foremost, as you raise your kids, you're a kingdom carrier. As you lead your department, you're a kingdom carrier. As you're a husband or a wife, you're first a kingdom carrier in that marriage. And if you lead the payroll department or the HR department or the operations of your business, your job first and foremost, before you do anything on your computer, is you bring the kingdom. Are you with me? This is the better life. And Jesus calls, friends, this is the one, Jesus calls every single one of us into a better life. What's the better life? It's to follow Him fully. It's to learn to be with Him. You know it by now. Be with Him, become like Him, and do what He did. And Jesus, in His wisdom, goes, Peter, as He calls him, and for every follower of Jesus, Jesus gives us this picture. You might say to me, what's the better life? What does it mean to carry the kingdom? If I'm a mom, if I'm a dad, if I'm a department head, if I'm a student, if I'm a business owner, if I'm a CFO, and my job is to carry the kingdom, what exactly is that? Well, Jesus gives us the answer. He preaches the sermon called the Sermon on the Mount. It's possibly, I think, the three most important chapters in Scripture for any Christ follower who's really seriously deciding to follow Jesus. Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 6, and Matthew chapter 7. Jesus preaches the sermon. It's become known as the Sermon on the Mount. And in it, it'll be on the screen. I want to get the wording exactly right for you. It is the manual. It is the blueprint for the thriving life. As Jesus calls Peter into the better life, what is the better life? Well, it's his teaching in Matthew 5, Matthew 6, and Matthew 7. It shows us the better life and the best way to live. Thrive, I want to say this to us. The Sermon on the Mount is nothing less than the pathway to the highest human possibility. If you want to know how to take your one and only life on this planet and make it count for every single thing that you're involved with, if you want your life to be a sponge that is squeezed out onto this world, that every moment that you spend on this world, the kingdom of God advances because you're in this world, Matthew 5, Matthew 6, and Matthew 7 are Jesus' invitations, his teaching, his instruction on how to live the better life. Come with me into 13 verses of Matthew chapter 5, and I'm reading from the Message paraphrase of Scripture. When Jesus saw, he's just about to preach the Sermon on the Mount, right? When Jesus saw his ministry drawing huge crowds, he climbed a hillside. Why do you think he climbed the hillside? I think there's two reasons. So that he could speak and so people could hear, but also I think maybe he was testing, who wants to climb with me? Who's too lazy to climb? Because it says those who were apprenticed to him, the committed, they climbed with him. All the armchair sportsmen stayed at home. Arriving at a quiet place, he sat down and he taught his climbing companions. Are you a climbing companion of Jesus? I think another word for climbing companion is good news people. Those who are learning to follow Jesus. Hey. And then this is what he said. You are blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there's more of God and his rule. You're blessed when you feel you've lost what's most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one who is most dear to you. You're blessed when you're content with just who you are. No more, no less. He says that's the moment you find yourselves proud owners of everything that can't be bought. Don't you love it? You're blessed, he says, when you've worked up a good appetite for God. His food and drink in the best meal you'll ever eat. He goes on, you're blessed when you care. At the moment of being careful, don't you love people who care? You know, I love Mike cared about justice and got involved. So he says, at the moment of being careful, you find yourself cared for. You're blessed when you get your inside world, I love it, your mind and your heart put right. That's when we're blessed. And then you can see God in the outside world. You're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. You're blessed when your commitment to God provokes persecution. The persecution, it drives you even deeper into his kingdom. Not only that, count yourselves blessed every time people put you down or throw you out or speak lies about you to discredit me. What it means is that the truth is too close for comfort and they are uncomfortable. You can be glad when that happens, Jesus says. Give a cheer even, for though they don't like it, I do. And all heaven applauds. Don't you want a life that heaven applauds, eh? And know that you are in good company. My prophets and witnesses, they've always gotten into this kind of trouble. Jesus, did you notice there, everybody, that Jesus uses the word blessed at the beginning of every single one of what we call these Beatitudes? This word blessed, the Greek word for it is an exceptionally important word. It's worth spending a moment on today. The Greek word is makarios, M-A-K-A-R-I-O-S, makarios. Don't worry to remember that, but please do remember the meaning of it. This word means to be blessed is to live at the pinnacle of human existence. It is to live at the apex. It is to live at the top. It's to learn to live at the highest possibility for a human being to live at. So don't miss this. When Jesus says, blessed are the X, Y, and Z, he is saying that the people that live like I live, the people that listen to my words and actually enact them, actually put them into practice, they find the highest way to live. It's profoundly important for us as human beings. And so let me say it again, it'll be on the screen. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, everybody. It's the manual. It's the blueprint. Like, it's the instruction manual. You know when you get the furniture and they say, here's how to assemble it. And there's always, always something missing from that instruction manual. Well, this one's got nothing missing. Because Jesus, in the sermon, Matthew, remember, say it with me, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, he shows us the better life and the best way to live. If you're taking notes today, remember you will get to heaven quicker than anybody else. It's the path. You can write this down. It's the path to the highest human possibility. In other words, you will live put right on the inside. How does this happen? It happens when we take Jesus' words. We don't read them and then move on to Matthew 8, but we take them and we go, Matthew 5, 6, 7, I wonder what there is here for me to begin to put into practice. Maybe it's to bless others and not curse them. You know that palooka at work that gets your back up every time you see them. You just see their car in the parking lot. It's to deal with everybody, including the tax man, with honesty and integrity. You know how you know 1030 is a great service? It's because there's so many honest people in it. In the 8th city, when I mentioned that, people were putting their head in their hands and going, eish. The 8:30 service is filled with tax dodgers. It happens when we learn to let go of anger. Happens when we leave lust and we just decide not to indulge the flesh. Happens when we hold to the biblical view of marriage, the biblical view of sexuality, when we hold true to that, one man and one woman in the context of marriage, not two men and two women outside of marriage, or one man and one man, one woman and one, are you with me? There were always more amens about SARS than there were about that in the film. When you're dating somebody and you decide, I'm actually not going to sleep with you until we're married. Like, that's enacting Jesus' sermon. It's people that are honest. It's when we stick to our word and we tell the truth. When we choose not to take revenge. When we learn only through the power of God to learn slowly, stutteringly, haltingly, to love those that have spoken badly about us, to wish good for them and pray for them. It's when we become people that give to the poor. You know, giving to the poor is a South African thing. I think it's helpful if we maybe develop a theology about giving to the poor. It's not necessarily giving money. You see, we go, I'm not going to give money to the poor, but then we don't give the poor anything. I want to suggest we can give to the poor. What can we give to the poor? We can give them dignity. We can give them a greeting. We can give them a how are you doing today? We can give them a Nutrigo pack from the cafe. Cafe Connect sells them. We can give from what we do have. can do to others what we hope they would do to us. We can bear good fruit with our lives. How does it happen? I want to get really practical. It means we read Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Take it really, I was going to say deadly seriously, but that feels a bit, you know. Take it super seriously and actually say, Jesus, I'm going to follow you by doing what? By putting your words into practice. It's people that abandon how they feel about things and who live by principle. Can I say this today? And I'll get off the platform and run into the backstage if anybody whips out a stone and wants to start stoning me. I'll find cover, you know. But I think one of the biggest lies that our culture tells us is that what you feel should be acted upon. I think what we could say, and it might be helpful, is feelings are real, but they're not reality. Are you with me? Feelings can be validated without being acted upon. If we act upon every inclination, every feeling, if we act upon everything that we sense and feel in life, it leads us into paths of destruction. If I ate everything that I wanted to, eish, you know? And here's the thing. The human appetite is endless. And we'll never have enough. We'll never have enough food. Never have enough of the good life. Never have enough, you name it, football. Never have enough money. Never have enough power. Never have enough sex. You with me? So let me say it one more time. It'll be on the screen. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount is the manual, the blueprint for the thriving life. Jesus invited Peter into the better life. You and I are so incredibly blessed and fortunate that we have a manual for the better life. It's called Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and all of Jesus' teachings. Are you with me? The way to live truly free is to pursue freedom on the inside. And that's what Jesus' teaching does. Jesus' teaching helps us. I hope you don't miss this today. Jesus' teaching teaches us how to live with the internal sorted out, not the external. Are you with me? If you and I, if our happiness depends upon the external circumstances of our lives, how many of you know we're never going to be happy enough? Because there's always something about my life that I wish was different. However, the great power of his teaching, and this is why it can be called the highest possibility for human living, is that as we put it into practice, it frees us from the shackles that hold us. As we decide to say no to anger, as we decide to pursue forgiveness, as we decide to let the fruit of our lips be positive and negative, as we do that stuff, slowly anger and negativity and unforgiveness loosen their grip on us. Are you with me? And it happens as we exercise those muscles. You all good? Fifth issue that Peter had to talk about and figure his way through was the cost issue. After receiving the invitation to the better life, Peter has to weigh up the cost. Remember, backtrack, Luke 5. What's happened here is Peter has actually just caught the biggest catch of fish ever in his life. So Jesus says to him, put your nets over that side. He does it. And the boats, two boats are on the verge of sinking. So Peter has got chobos of fish at the moment. Remember we said maybe Peter even stripped down. He took his T-shirt off and maybe he was in a pair of white cargo pants, pulling his boats with one arm with each. And there was some epic music playing. And his friends were standing on the side of the beach going, Peter, Peter, Peter. And he... Peter's got the biggest catch of fish in his life, and it's at this point in time that Jesus calls him to leave them. I mean, I think Peter was about to write a book called Put It Over the Other Side or something, you know? I think Peter was about to start a fishing franchise. He had the whole town queuing up saying, Peter, give us the secret. I think Peter was about to start a seminar called The Secrets of Fishing in the Deep Water. And it's at this moment that Jesus calls him, hey, leave this and follow me. The point is this, the cost issue. Now, Jesus might not be calling you to leave your business or your whatever it is that you're involved with, but you and I all know, we all know if we follow Jesus in any manner, shape, or form, you and I know there's a cost to following him. That cost is sometimes financial, costs us time, it costs us money, costs us energy, costs us our hearts. When that person lets you down again and you got to go back and forgive, costs us our convenience, it costs us our comfort, doesn't it? Following Jesus always costs us. Some of you are wondering right now, why is this thing called good news people? This sounds like bad news. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he was a German pastor and theologian. He lived in the late 1930s. Then he got martyred by the Nazis. The Nazis killed him. And he wrote a book called The Cost of Discipleship. And that book was a magnificent critique on what it costs to follow Jesus. But you know, there were scholars that began to comment on his book, and they said this book was amazing. But the one thing that this book didn't do, this book didn't complete the picture by saying, what's the cost of not following Jesus? You see, because there is a cost to following Jesus. But can I suggest to you that the cost of not following him is far greater than the cost of following him? Are you with me? And that's what Jesus says. Check it out with me. Luke 14, he says, and if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. Listen, Oaks, don't preach this at conference. You know, when you go to conference and you're hoping everybody will be rah-rah and happy, and stand and shout and wave their hankies. And, you know, they don't put this on TBN, do they? You can't, if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you can't be my disciple. Jesus never shied away from talking about the cost of following him because he knew. Jesus was the wisest person ever to. He knew that the cost of not following him was infinitely, infinitely greater. What's the cost of not following Jesus? Well, ask yourself, how much does regret weigh? What's the cost of not following Jesus? Ask yourself how much hopelessness weighs. Ask yourself, imagine facing the future with no faith in anybody other than yourself. Can you imagine walking into the future of your life, having no faith in anybody else, anything above you other than yourself? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine never experiencing God's love? Can you imagine an existence void of the shape that God put in your heart and my heart that can only be filled by him? Can you imagine walking into the future with no hope of ever, ever stepping into eternity with God? Can you imagine that? That's the cost of not following Jesus. So yes, following him, it's going to cost you some friendships. Might cost you a fiance, might cost you a business partner, might cost you a promotion, might cost you some hard-earned money that you sow into the kingdom, might cost you your comfort and convenience. All the people with how can I serve you shirts on all over this, it costs them sleep every single Sunday, costs them their convenience. They could be having their feet up watching cricket, eating croissants on Sunday mornings, but they are here. Are you with me? Give somebody, yeah. Give some thanks for our iServe team. Hey, come, let's give them some love. I'll never forget. This story with Peter, when I was working over it again now, it brought up all sorts of, oh man, such a mix of things for me. Because 10 years ago when I left my job to go into full-time ministry. It took me 7 years to really navigate my way through, see my way clear. And then I handed in my resignation. I'll never forget that. And I handed in my resignation just after I'd received the biggest bonus I'd ever received. And I'm like, I felt like Peter pulling the fish. And then he go, really, God? And I thought once about it. And then I thought twice about it. And I thought three times, four times, five times. I'm like, God, are you sure? The cost issue. And those who are prepared to pay the cost, friends, we will discover what only those who've paid the cost will discover. And that is this. The life that Jesus invites you into and invites me into is always better than the life we thought we wanted. So on the other side of Jesus' teachings lie a man and a woman put together on the inside, with increasing levels of peace, increasing levels of joy, increasing senses of the companionship of God, the friendship of God, increasingly able to give things away, whether it's credit or whether it's power or whether it's the hold that something has on their lives. They can shed the load. They live light. They live free. They live okay here. They live peaceful. They live selflessly, or more selflessly. All because they take his words. That's why Dallas Willard said it, actually. He said, the greatest treasure that Jesus gave us, apart from his life and his death, is the Sermon on the Mount. Because when you live it, life is better. My dad used to love taking us on road trips when we grew up. Sometimes it would be like a long road trip for a holiday. And sometimes it would just be a Sunday afternoon drive. We used to say, Dad, where are we going? He used to say, there and back to see how far it is. It was so irritating because we never knew like where we were going. But it was a road trip. And what he did was, they were clever, my folks. They got these tapes. Anybody remember cassette tapes? Does anybody young or old enough to remember cassette tapes? I'm not talking CDs. I'm talking cassettes, you know, where you had to wind them and sometimes the tape came out. Remember that? And then if you recorded things off the radio, then you had to press record and with the tape in and chuk, like that. The top 40, remember that? All that, yes, okay. Anyway, so these cassette tapes were tapes called Storyteller. Now, Storyteller were these awesome kids' stories narrated by these people that were amazing readers. And there was a storybook that accompanied it. So you would read it and watch the pictures and that. And then when the guy was ready to turn the page, it would go ding, and then you'd know the guy's like on the next page now, right? And actually, I'm about to improve your week. Those of you who've ever done, you can go find those stories, all of them, on Storyteller TV on YouTube. How legit is that? I've had the most epic week. I didn't prepare much of the sermon, but I did watch a lot of those. Anyway, what was I telling you? Oh yes. Road trips, Storyteller. One of my favorite stories in Storyteller was a story called Dodo and the Pot of Gold. Dodo and the Pot of Gold. Dodo was a dodo bird. You know the dodos that got extinct in like 1890, something like that. Anyway, and Dodo was climbing a rainbow to get to a pot of gold. And then just as he thought he was about to reach out and grab the pot of gold, what did he discover? The pot of gold didn't exist. It was an illusion. The pot of gold at the end of the rainbow doesn't exist. So often we live life aspiring to the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, only to get the promotion, reach out, grab it, and discover it's not the life I thought it was going to be. You know what I mean? You can play, Greg, thanks. You know what I mean? Like, you buy the new car, and then you get in and you think driving around the potholes is going to be more lekker in the new car. But the potholes still irritate you just as much as what they did before. And the problem is the smell of the new car lasts a lot, fades a lot quicker than the payments do. So you know when you're driving a car, you're still paying for it, but it's lost its new car smell? That, my friends, is the pot of gold. I'm not saying don't get the new car. I'm just saying don't think it's going to give you what it can't give you. And the Sermon on the Mount, maybe I can say it this way. Sermon on the Mount is the pot of gold that does exist. And it may not look appealing when it says forgive your enemies and give to the poor and let your yes be yes and your no be no and turn your back on anger and give adultery a miss and give lust a miss. And it may not look like gold at all. It may look like, but when you reach out and you grab it, we discover it's the greatest treasure. And we discover the treasure of Christ's life and how he calls us as good news people to follow him. So good news people follow Jesus. What do? They have to address the obedience issue, the direction issue, the credit issue, the better life issue, and the cost issue. Can I invite you to do two things with me today? The one is to consider which life you've been looking for and pursuing. And maybe decide that the pot of gold life is worth giving a skip. And maybe consider the following Jesus, the better life. And secondly, to consider that if you decide to follow Jesus, you know, each of us deeper ways, consider the great promise that comes with that is that you and I will discover that the life Jesus has for us is way, 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 way better than the life we thought we wanted. Amen? Let's pray. Today, my invitation is very simple, it's very clear, and that is, I want to invite you, if you've never made a decision to follow Jesus with your life, or maybe today you're sitting here and you're like Peter, I'm talking about Peter, and you go, ka-ching, that's me. You said yes once before, but life has gone weird and wonderful for you. And today you're going, I'm Peter, I'm leaving the nets, and I'm following you, Jesus. Remember, just to be clear, I'm not talking about career changes. It might well be. I'm not talking about leaving physical things behind. It might well be. I'm talking specifically about saying yes to what Jesus is asking of you. And to follow him and to say to him, I am Jesus, I am going to take your life. And I'm going to follow your life. I'm going to take your teachings and I'm going to apply your teachings. I'm going to trust you to be Lord of my life here on earth. And I'm going to trust you to be Savior of my life in eternity. He is both Lord and Savior. There's no such thing as a Christian trusting Jesus for salvation, but not saying yes to them as Lord. Those are the people that Jesus will get to one day. The scripture says they'll come and they'll say, but Lord, I did this in your life, in your name and that in your name. And you'll say, get away from me because I never knew you. So the invitation today is, do you want to follow Jesus and get to know him? Just a moment. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to respond just by raising your hand. Nice and quickly, slip it up nice and high. The reason we do that, theologically, the reason for this is so clear because Jesus always issued invitations to people. And so today I'm issuing you with an invitation. And if you want to say yes to it, you can just slip your hand up when I get to three. I'll see it, say thank you, and I'll pray with you. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to ask you to stand. I'm going to pray for you, and you can join me as I pray from the platform. Ready on the count of three. Here we go. One, two, three. If that's you, slip your hand up now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So many. Thank you up and thank you in the balcony. Thank you, sir, down here. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Lots, lots. If you want to join them, just slip your hand up nice and high. I want to see you. Thank you. That's awesome. Come, let's pray together, church. You know, every member in our church is a minister, hey? Every partner is a pastor in this moment. I'm going to ask us to be the church. You know, church is not a destination. It's not like this building. Church is an identity. It's a family. It's who we are. So would you follow after me and let's pray together, each and every one of us. So Father God, thank you so much for your love. God, thank you that you loved me enough to send Jesus. Jesus, thank you that you died for me in my place for friendship with you. Please forgive me. Wash me clean. Begin to write a new story. Fill me, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope that you have been blessed and inspired by this message. For more information on Thrive Church, visit our website. And for more life-giving messages, go and visit our YouTube channel.